And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Monday, June 20th, 2016. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to talk about all what's going around the Middle East. And, of course, we're going to touch base with the referendum that this week England is going to have. In case they're going to drop the Eurozone or they're not. And then we're going to talk about the Brazilian crisis, the economic crisis, the civil crisis, and even the political crisis and the Zika virus crisis, with the fact that they have, in 50 days, they have the Olympic, which is incredible. On top of it, Russia is not admissible to the games because Russian sportsmen found out to be taking drugs, so it didn't work for them. And more or less, we are, you know, in the middle of everything. Is seems that start working, and then something happened, like the Orlando shoot up, and. It's not easy to keep score and to keep task, but, you know, if your eyes on the ball, you know exactly how to get it going, and you know in what way we need to go. Let's start with the first segment.
It took many a surprise late on Friday when Rio's state authorities declared a state of emergency, a financial calamity, quote, when they put a declaration out in an official publication, basically saying they needed special measures to be able to get loans here, to cut through red tape, and at the end of the day, appealing to the federal government of Brazil for extra money, potentially $1 billion worth, according to local media reports here, to help them out with what is already a $5 billion debt they've managed to accrue. Now, we've already seen in the past months how that's impacting health services here, some hospitals in crisis, universities, and more importantly, the police, who are struggling, some say, to necessarily find the money they need to go through the security programs in Rio to get it ready for the games. But this declaration proved that things were significantly worse than anybody necessarily thought. And it's brought a sense, I think, of shock to many longer-term observers here. The broader question, where's that money going to come from? Well, they want about $1 billion. It may come from the federal government. Is this local officials using the Olympic Games, that big international showcase event for Brazil, as leverage to get money out of federal government to improve local services here? Well, possibly, yes. We don't know if that's going to prove successful here. But it's added yet another potential hurdle or moment for concern when it comes to the Olympics, under 50 days away from now. We know that there's a political crisis here, an economic crisis, a Zika outbreak that's got many athletes debating whether they're even going to attend. Now we also know that the financial crisis here in Rio has got to the point where they're willing to make very public declarations of, quote, calamity. The money may come through, but there is a risk here, I think, that it may sour the climate that tourists come to the games in here, the hospitals, the police they will end up relying upon, and possibly also, too, this is the one thing we don't really know, the ability for the infrastructure for the games to be ready. All promises have been kept that things will be there on time, but one example, the subway that's supposed to take people from the beaches behind me to the Olympic Park itself, that's only going to be ready, the Vital Extension, 4 days before the games begin. A lot cutting it tight, a lot of money not in the kitty where it should be. Great concerns only mounting here in Rio. Nick Payton-Walsh, CNN, Rio de Janeiro.
All right, so that was CNN about the situation in Rio de Janeiro. Now, if the subway is going to be ready 4 days just before the games, and you guys all know that with construction, a target time is only a suggestion, because we all know what it takes to build. Sometimes you have a delay, sometimes the weather doesn't cooperate, sometimes people make mistakes, and it's not something that you know, you can do in the last moment. Of course, though, we can help. The idea is we have a 50 days to go, and we know that they are not going to move it, right? I was thinking about it, and I was considering the idea that America can host it and to have it elsewhere, like in Atlanta, that she had it before. But there was no kind of of answer. Actually, it doesn't seem like the authority or the one in charge of the Olympic have a really concern, because they don't address the situation. The news are not about them. Maybe behind the scenes they are freaking out, which they should. But let's ask a question. The world can come to war, right? They can come to the game too. They don't need to always. We cannot have only one emergency situation in the world. You know, sometimes world effort is worthwhile. And I'm calling upon you all today. Today is June 20th. Let's make a really an extra push and see what we can do to help Brazil. It's not fair that she's stuck by it by herself. I'm sure that there are people working and there are some all kind of goodwill people that can help her. But no, we're talking about major effort of all the, you know, the continents. We have the symbol of the Olympic that talks about unity. But it's not only in the game. It's unity in the value. If we think that we are in America able and capable of lifting the stress level of them and starting sending some, you know, managers to help speed up, workers to speed up. If they are printing money like they, it seems like they do, they're going to have to come up with the product after that. So why don't we have an emergency task force? Now, from a different reason, we have to be concerned about the virus too. And I've been talking about that before, and I wanna address it now again. So let's start again. I'm calling about the World Global Task Force to help the Olympics. This year Olympics, this will be a world-class Olympic if we all move together. Like every continent needs to have her task force to help Brazil make it play. I don't know what's your specialties, but I'm sure that you all have some. Now, we have one incredible task to subdue the influence of the bug that created the Zika virus. Now, that bug is not strange to many people. I sat with a professor that she is an expert of this. She's been researching that bug for 50 years. Now, they come up with some kind of method that it's environmentally friendly, which none of the spraying that is taking place right now in Brazil are. And that spray is also hurting the environment for the next 15 years. So let's say that maybe we can have a task force from here helping lure those bugs. How you lure bugs? First of all, you remember they're attracted to water, but they're attracted to scent. The scent, like the sweat of the people, is something that they see. And they go after and they smell it. So this function is being created in a specialty in Israel that they actually control other bugs that I'll tell you all about it later. But the fact of the matter is that we can make some kind of cooperation with the hope that the same method that killed the Middle Eastern bug here will work for them too. Okay? And it's environmental, it's green. So something that we have in the mix that can help. Now, I've been talking about moving, canceling the Olympic every day, every time, again and again for many years. Until I was looking for the music. And when I found the music of the Olympics, I said, you know, when a country like this call upon, when the God comes, I'm sure I give it to you, Doug, to play. If we can have it, I want to let you know. When a country, when a movement of people asking if God's come, I know the answer always is yes. So in their midst crisis, in the most incredible, incredible anguish of political uproar, of incredible danger, they are willing to host it because they believe God will come. And I'm telling all of you guys, we must make it happen, just because the unity of mankind depends on that kind of effort. And I'm serious about it. You guys give them the hope, the understanding that God does exist. And it's existing all in mighty power when people take brother to a different level. I hope that we can listen to the music. And I want to remind all you, they built a holy temple, a replica of the holy temple of Jerusalem in Brazil. I know that God has his way in his secret way, and sometimes he challenged them all just to test us. Let's not be overlooking the ultimate test of brother of man in the most important thing. And by all means, when you calling upon Russia, Russia needs to redeem itself. The sports needs to be clean. But I'm sure that you will see in your heart that putting anybody out in this extreme time will be a big mistake. So I'm calling a few guys all to quit this nonsense of they don't play. Let them all play. Let's all the world play together like we're supposed to, and not like the display of pity that they're showing us in Europe right now, in the Euro Cup, which we resented terribly. So let's start by putting some good music, all right? And we are back. That was the music for the new Olympics in 2016 Olympics in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro. My goodness, what a great country. And what a great, great conference it's going to be. I call it conference, but games. The Olympic Games are someplace where all the world can unite. And many times you have history of very bad situation, like the 72 Olympics of in München in Germany, where the Israeli got shot, killed, kidnapped, whatever. And looking back at the story and the history of that that fact that all the village in Germany did not protect the Jewish players, the Israeli one. And there were great, great bunch of them. And the idea of having sportsmen get invaded by terrorists is something that must be on everybody's minds. Remember, they look like they were walking with sports shorts and pants and sport shoes. They got their way around the village like nothing. Nobody disturbed them, and it was night. And then got into the village and the dorms. Now, the dorms usually are not very well protected or closed because people don't think about that. But the idea that we need to put in our mind today is how we really protect those athletes now, today. And you know what? It can go and finish with nothing happened. You know, we all, if we do our due diligence, we work our heart out, first of all, to bring the games to play. Security must be very, very clear. It means like we have to have cameras, we have to have communication, we have to have videos, we have to have screening, we have to have also a list, and we have to have people on the grounds. It's like carpet them, doesn't matter. We'll have the sportsmen will be babysit by all kind of attaches, security apparatus, protector, medical, wherever you want. We can do it. They're gonna be protected. There is no reason else to do. And if I think, well, people do think that I do sometimes, we must consider the fact that the Brazilian are not to the level with us. Okay, and I'm talking with us Israeli and with us Americans, with us European, like a French, English. They're not. Because it's not their environment. And whatever we want or not, they're not used to. So why don't we send them some people to create some, you know, protection that we all will be relaxed. Just remember, we want to see a great game. We want to go on the beaches and watch on the big screen the athletes that are happening everywhere. You know, this weekend we had a very shush event in Israel, but it was a great event of gymnastics for women. No, nobody was talking about it, but the Israeli group got the medal, the gold medal. Another one got another one. Of the silver or what was it, bronze. The fact of the matter is that they were protected by not getting too much attention. They went in and they went out, and I think, and that's it. Now we want to create a movement to help them. Now we have 50 days. We know that the Russians are really, really good with sports. But for some reason, the Russians are playing funny. And I have no problem with the Russians every time of the day, as long as they're clear and transparent in what they're doing. And they understanding that collaboration with American forces is essential. There is no way that the Russian will take the lead alone without the American and the counterpart in European Union. It's not happening anymore. It's over. Russia was in the lead in Syria when she took the chemical weapon. She actually volunteered to take care of that. And she falls short because Vladimir Putin admitted that chemical weapon did fail to the armed the rebels or the armed forces or whatever forces that wasn't supposed to get it. They took it away. Meaning we need more collaboration. We need to keep on going. Now you know you have the importance of having having an Olympics like this. So the Russian, maybe they're not the best shot, but we have the English, we have the, you know, we have other forces, the German or anybody else that is willing and ready to generate some kind of task force to help see overseas. Mathematically, let's say the German, we need you guys to come and send some troops to help the Brazilian. And it's all our responsibility. Don't please. If anything happens that is not kosher, it will be on our it will be the world disaster, and you don't want to have such an event collapse just because of it. All right, so we are gonna go and hope for the best on that, but we want to move on to the incredible tragedy that happened with the English member of parliament. She was quite a lady. That lady from New Yorkshire, she was amazing. Her heart was all over. And she died asking England to stay in the European Union. Now, you know, we all have our wants and will. But when somebody is sacrificing her life for such a cause, we must recognize that there is something sacred there. So even though, you know, the European Union did not deliver on all its promises and made a big suffering to all Europe, let's tell the truth. Okay, let's really tell the truth. The European Union made a lot of people suffer. The prices rise, the economy went bad, nobody felt independent anymore, a lot of immigrants. It did not work. Now, essentially, when you go to a place and you come back and you see somebody else takes care of it and you see, wow, what a show, you're saying, God, that change was worthwhile. When I came back, I saw the difference. I said, get off immediately. I told my Italian friend, get off Italy. Italy needs to disengage from the European Union. He said, they cannot. It's too late. Well, I understand that they got them by the neck, but England has the right to decide. And unity is always a good thing to have. Let's not question that. To be united as a world is fine. But for some reason, the European Union is run by non-elected member of government. So it's been sent like you have a major kingdom there that they're ruling, and you don't know who is next, and you don't know how it's going to operate. So they have a good sense of displeasure, if I may say that, and into the context of what the European Union is actually creating. So they're saying that the economy will be bad. I say that every time you're independent, it's all depend on you. It means that you can make more. You're not dependent. You don't need to have the big brother asking you what you're doing or if it's okay, or if that agreement doesn't pass, or you can. It's everything is slow. Now, security is the same. However, they're talking about 2 years until they can get disengaged from the old deal. Are we going to let those 2 years being a process of slowing down the economy? No, you can create you can use what you have and create new deal on top of it. You know, the government has its right to run the show. It cannot go every time to Europe, and they cannot even run their show. So I want to honor the member of British Parliament, and may her life be remembered as good as she was, and may her deed will be inscribed in the history book of United Kingdom, and may her record will give us a lot of enlightenment for what next to come. That's as far it goes. Now, as far as the referendum go, people will have to vote for their heart, with their hearts. And if it's okay to stay, let them stay. If it's okay to leave, let them leave. But whatever it is, your independence is yours. Your freedom and liberty does not, we say, reflect on you. You can make it bigger. And England is a great nation. I know that Ireland is a little concerned, but I'm sure she doesn't have to, because now she is still a part of England. That she, you know, sometimes things play for the best. So let's go and get some music, and we'll be back after that.
I wanna dance by the water 'neath the Mexican sky. Drink some margaritas by a string of blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me? I wanna fall like the Carolina rain.
Are you with me? I'm sure you are, y'all. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. I'm broadcasting here from the Holy Land, Israel, and I'm sending all my blessing to you everywhere you are. And I hope that your day will become, full with sunshine and full with hopes and blessing and great encounter, and may they last a lifetime for you to enjoy them and love them and be inspired by them. You know, we are communicating here, and the studios are in Paradise, California, where Doug Newsome is there with us and is always a great guy, working hard and doing his best. And just remember, this radio is the radio for the people, by the people, and we are really doing everything we can to bring you the information, the live audios, the news, and the music that makes your life better. We are here for you to make your life better. We are here for us to take a share in this world. And this burden is also ours, so we need all to share our part and make it better. And if we can do your day better, so be it. Now, there are some segments of news that we need to listen to about the Brexit. The England is taking off from European and the referendum this week, so let's listen.
Some people say to me, Aaron, you're so out of touch. You don't know how racist and xenophobic people are. Guess what? I do. I'm from Bournemouth. So I went back to Bournemouth anyway. We took a few vox pops from people on the streets, very Eurosceptic part of the country, true blue. The entire council is basically Tory and UKIP. And we listened to what they had to say.
Can I ask you which way you're voting in the forthcoming EU referendum?
Out.
Any one reason, one word, why?
Too many migrants.
EU, there are seven blokes, none of which have been elected, that make the laws. None of them live in this country. They make the laws and we have to stick to them. No, that's not right. It's not democratic.
So if there was an argument that said it could be reformed, it could be democratised, would that wash with you or no? Is there nothing they could do?
Well, of course they could.
Yeah.
They could let us get out and take all the immigrants back out.
If the country changes, then we get all the refugees back in the country. And the government's not going to stop that.
And who did you vote for the last general election, if that means
Labour.
Labour?
Yeah.
And who would you be voting for in 4 years' time, do you think?
Labour.
There was the thing about Turkey, and the deal that they would send the immigrants back. And then they said, Turkey said, if we do that, we want £6 billion, not just £3 billion. And then we want easier access to the EU. And I thought, No, I don't actually see this. We've got a human rights issue there. They're not economically viable. They're not going by the rules, and we're going to, you know, bend all the rules. And if they change that, I'll be for in.
I want to stay in.
You stay in?
I want to stay in. My friend lives in Spain, and if we go out of Europe, then she has to go back to Spain.
Ah,
so yeah, I want to stay in just for that reason.
No, there's too many people in this country. You change the rules slightly. I'd like to be part of Europe, but they don't take any notice of it.
No. Who would you like to see as next Prime Minister?
We haven't got a decent one.
Unfortunately, they can't bring Margaret Thatcher back, but they should have cloned her.
This is so pale.
I'm pretty much undecided. Just because I don't feel I'm being given the right information or the right facts, I think it's just a load of people that are arguing over what they presume will happen rather than what will happen.
And can I ask who you voted for the last election?
Labour.
Labour. And who will you vote for in 2020?
Don't know, but definitely not the Conservatives.
Right. Can I ask you which way you're voting in the forthcoming EU referendum?
I'll probably be voting out of the EU.
And are you worried that the whole Brexit camp, its rhetoric is marked by xenophobia, by racism, that it might set the country in a certain path?
No, I don't think so. I just think that many people outside of UK are benefiting, but not the people of the UK are benefiting.
And which way did you vote in the last general election?
I voted Conservative.
I don't think people are necessarily becoming more right-wing and more xenophobic. I think people are just sick of things of the way where they are.
I haven't got a problem with migration, but it just seems to be now everybody comes in and there's no... Do you know what I mean? There needs to be a cull on it. It needs to be watched.
There's a lot of evidence out there which suggests that migration's a net benefit in terms of tax revenues. The NHS has about 50,000 people.
That's a huge argument, though, isn't it? Is it or isn't it? I think it's just come to... I think it was initially.
Yeah.
But I think it's come to a point where there's too many.
I work for the health service. I think it's better for the health service around recruitment. And I think it's better for the economy as well.
I hope with a Conservative vote, I didn't think UKIP was a big enough party to run the country, but I did feel with the Conservative vote that migration would be watched more, but it hasn't been.
You feel let down, basically?
Yeah, I do feel let down, yeah. I do feel they've done a good job because of all the debt back in, you know, when obviously the banks went bang, you know, when it all went wrong. But I think they've done a good way of grabbing money back, but perhaps they've cut too much. They need to stop cutting things down and start looking at spending more money again.
Interesting. So what if the Tories didn't say that, though? What if they said we've got to cut for the next 10, 15 years? That wouldn't be pleasing you either.
No, no. You look at the infrastructure, potholes, roads, everything's getting worse, not better. Do you know what I mean? We're in Europe, everything's good. I've seen lots of money spent in other countries in Europe. And then somebody said to me, well, 10, 15 years, we had it good. Well, I don't remember those good days. But all I see now is cut after cut after cut after cut. And, you know, we want positive things. Do you know what I mean? And I think a lot of people want to vote out of Europe because they feel that the country will have more money to do what we want to do, maybe the NHS, spend it on roads, and they think that will be a positive way to go forward.
One thing I persistently encountered in Bournemouth when asking people on the street whether they were Remain or Leave was Britain's not what it used to be, Britain's not great, Cameron sold us out, England's lost. Now, what does this mean, England's lost? For me, it basically betokens a sense of loss in regard to empire. You know, Britain does not treat the rest of the world like a beach ball that they can just sort of play with. It betokened that. And when they say England's lost, I think that also signifies something. You know, what was the original mafia syndicate through which empire was expedited? It was Britain, okay? Now, the rest of Britain, i.e. Wales, Northern Ireland, Scotland, have increasingly formal legal political institutions. They have their own cultural institutions. They even have, in the case of Wales, languages spoke by a lot of people, right? You go to the best museum in London, where do you go? British Museum. The best library in King's Cross is called the British Library. English haven't really got many institutions, haven't really got a culture, to be quite frank. What's more, British identity, a civic one, English identity, for me at least, can only ever be an ethnic one. That's a very concerning reality in regard to the English being uneasy with the EU and uneasy with globalisation. What's more, sticking on globalisation, I think that we are seeing the convergence of the demise of empire, a demise of white supremacy on the behalf of Britain, with the failure of a particular kind of globalisation that hasn't worked for most working people over the last 30 years, particularly those in formerly industrial areas. That mix of superstructure base, culture and economics is very, very toxic. That's what is the foundation, I think, for any move further right in UK politics after June 23rd, whatever the outcome, by the way, because this is not going away. It's the big issue the left has to deal with over the next decade.
Back, it's really Benny Davis with the impossible truth, you know, in Israel. And in Israel today, they're all looking to the referendum in England, and they're asking the same question, what England is going to do and how it's going to influence the economy, because it seems that everything is like turning a little shake-up dance. But let me tell you something. It really doesn't matter, because England will be England and Europe will be in Europe, and the economy will evolve as long as we don't decide to go to war, all of us. And thinking about war is, you know, people have been talking about the North and what's the situation here around Israel, and about the different solutions. So if we can just closure on the England referendum, I do wish them all the best, and I hope they have the greatest success, whatever it is. Just take it and make it happen for you, for both sides. Doesn't matter. You know who you are, and you're going to make it, no matter what. So going back and talking about Israel for a minute, or two, or three, or a lifetime, if you want. They were talking about the Arab plan. The French were talking about politicking and making an effort to create some a two-state solution in the Middle East. And I want to tell you something. Sorry. There is a song that talks about, you know, about everything that can happen. It happened always for the good, if not the rough to ride for. But the truth of the matter, you guys have to take a good look at around what's happening. And I'll give you the story, maybe cartoon style, so you don't have to take it personally and without no people. But there is an area called the area, the green area. And that green area was fighting with each other, fighting, throwing stone to the area from the green to the purple area. That purple people got so upset, so they went to the green area, and they stayed there for a year, too. They said, okay, now, because you play bad, we're going to stay there. And we built our purple houses. Then some of them decided that, you know, they're on the same routine. They're going to make, stones from another side of the purple party, and they start writing too. Now, you know, the green people were writing, but now the purple were taking control of them. So they said, why don't we make peace? So the purple say, of course, we'll make peace. So they take out everybody out. They said, okay, all those houses, cancel them all. We're going to give peace, because they deserve to have peace. You know, forget the fact that they were throwing stone and they were killing and everything. No, we just pretend, okay? We said, for the whole world to see, we want you to have your green land. So we give them a green land. The purple go back home. Now, in the meanwhile, we have on the other side of the border, on the, let's say on the east side, we have those green that infiltrate the area and went to the other side, which the orange, the neighbor orange there, didn't like it, but, they let them be. They said, oh, go bug the purple house. So the purple get out of the green land, and they give them the space. Then they found no more green on the other side, and the purple decide, okay, so be it. We let them be. We don't, you know, we create some fun. So now we have the green place. They want one to call their own land. And the green on the other side, they want to call it, let's say, another land. But they actually belong to the area next door to it. I know I made it sounds impossible to understand, but the idea is like this. When we gave Gaza back to the Palestinian, that was it. Those are the green. They got it. Now they're spending all their time to try to destroy Israel again, and it will be destroyed again, they said. But it's not right for anybody to destroy people's life. And those million that live there in refugee camps, that I blame the United Nations for giving them refugee camps, because if it's their land, why should you own a refugee camp? All right? By definition, is if there is an, a territorial territory, okay, that called your land, that you call it land, why you have a refugee camp here, there? UNRWA should cease to exist. And Gaza supposed to be the Palestinian. And Hamas needs to decide if it's a political party or it's a terrorist organization. Now, don't tell me that Hamas cannot change. Like the PLO was a terrorist organization, Hamas can change too. So let's make, create, let's all of us force our will and power to create some normal habitat information on the United Nations by telling them dismantle those refugee camp, and all the money will be created from UNRWA, which they take billions a year. Okay, this organization take billions a year. So I don't know what kind of a machinery they invented, but refugee camp in their own country, it's a ludicrous as it can be. All right, so we have the Gaza, call them green, let them be a person, happy persons. Country, they need to have a state there, whatever they want to call them, they can, the regime, they can call it whatever they want. The only thing is the rule of conduct is they have to be a democracy, and that's by resolution 181 of the United Nations from 1947. And you guys, maybe those leaders that we are running the show right now, they don't have the they never read those. Trust me, I know those newcomers, they don't even have a clue what are we talking about. The idea is we working with shortcoming politician. We have a very, very bad management right now. And the management of the Palestinian, they are lost, okay? So let's say dismantle the refugee camp. Goes, those money goes to build the state of Palestinian in Gaza. It's by biblical, it's yours, okay? It's theirs by biblical. And anyone tell that Palestinian is, Palestine is not of the Palestinian in Gaza. All the rest, it's not yours. You can pretend. You can pretend that even the mosque is yours. Mosque never was yours. It never built by yours. The fact that it's Muslim, yes. But it's not a Palestinian Muslim. It was built by different entity that they're not there anymore. Now, the fact that you have a mosque there, it doesn't mean that you cannot go pray there. Let's not be mistaken. We are praying there, but we want to all to pray to God of the universe together. So forget, please let them forget all the nonsense that you guys are building in their heads. You have a space, you let them have a house, give them work, whatever it takes. The rest, holy land, holy sacred area, is to be the custodian of the holy people of Israel. Nothing you can do about it. It's biblical. It's thousands of years, and God Almighty, God of Israel, is our witness here that He gave it to us. He gave it to Moses, and He gave it to, you know, to, He passed it through his prophets, and then he passed through the kingdom of David and kingdom of Saul. Now, you guys want to come and play right? Let's start play right. All right? I'm running out of time, and I want to send you a very, very lovely song, music, to finish with it. Love you. God bless you. Be there. Be with you next week. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.